to introduce our tonight's speaker. Welcome, Tim.
Oh, I thought I had like 10 more minutes. Man, I'm very nervous. If I pee myself tonight, I'll keep myself accountable and clean it up after, so don't worry about it. I'm Tim. I'm an alcoholic. I should say that, like, I'm Tim. I'm a grateful fucking alcoholic. This program saved my life, and I'll get right into it. I grew up here in San Diego. I'm the oldest of four boys. Started it. I mean, I can kind of go back and like really see how I always was an alcoholic. I don't know if I was born different or what happened, but you know, I could get into the story of like my father and how we had a different physical relationship and how each of my brothers had a very softer, kinder experience, and that comparing and that, you know, looking at my father with total resentment, I could blame the whole thing on that. But today I've done a lot of work and I don't have to do that. So I get to sit up here and tell a little bit of my story. It's funny, I wrote out like 7 pages and like, I think I'm just gonna say, screw it. I don't quite remember my first drink. I think it might have been like camping or something. I don't remember my first drink. It was very young. But I do remember when I started drinking, probably 14 or 15, my friends would come over. We'd sneak alcohol out of the pantry and fill those alcohol bottles back up with water, thinking that no one knew. And then it was interesting because a year later, there wasn't any alcohol, there was just water. So like one day, I found relief in water. But I always like needed more. So I think around 16, I started, you know, that day there was no more alcohol. So we found some weed, and that was the first time I smoked. It was a list of things that I had done during my career, of things that like I said, I will never do this. I'll never shoot this. I'll never put this in my body. And those things just slowly got checked off. And one of them was smoking weed, and so my career started a week later of me selling weed, and that gave me some funds through college to really amp up my alcoholism and try new things, and it just kept going. Like, if I were gonna lie, I would say that it wasn't fun, but man, I had a good old time in the beginning. Like using these things just to kind of curb my real feelings and not having to look at my emotions was a lot easier of a way to live my life. I had a good time in college, but I helped cause a lot of wreckage in a lot of people's lives during college, and I never saw my part. I just was finding like the next instant gratification that I could with whatever it was, whether it was women, whether it was drugs or alcohol, and my behaviors just went downhill. I'll mention again, but the to-do list of like, I will never do this, just kept getting checked off night by night. And I soon found myself very depressed and lonely. I don't know if there's like a word for like depression and anxiety like together, but that's how I kind of lived my life. And I knew how to get relief. About 3 years after college, I have 2 degrees that I'm not doing anything with. I mean, they don't give you, I mean, these days they give you degrees, but but when I was in college, they didn't give you a degree like how to go grow weed on a pot farm up in the up in up north. And it's funny, I actually saw in I got a Mesa College, and they have like beer making and how to start your own dispensary and stuff like that. And I'm like, where was that when I was out there? But yeah, I found myself on a weed farm, and a couple days into that, I'm doing some meth with some dude that was running from the law for, the least of it was like an armed robbery in a different state, attempted murder on a police officer, and he's telling me all this stuff. And about 2 days later, I actually fall asleep, and I end up in the trunk of his car with a... Yeah, no, it wasn't sexual or anything like that. I mean, there was ropes involved, but there was a shovel there too, so that was fun. And you know, my fear kind of saved me that day, because I reached down and I had a weapon in my pocket, and I was like, we need to turn this car around. And man, I got out of that place. I've had so many stories where I have just been a week. I got out of there a week early. There was a gunfight on the farm. His face got blown off. I saw a picture in the news, and I was like, that was me. Like that was me for sure. And you know, I pray to God, and we're back at it again. And you know, like trying to be sober without a program's not easy. And the stories just kept going down and down. On the way back from that, I'm driving down San Diego with about 100 pounds in my car, making stops like there's nothing in my trunk, visiting people. And then I have this idea that like a helicopter's following me, but there wasn't really anyone following me at all. So I stop at my best friend's house, drop off 100 pounds, and that man was my best friend, and I didn't give him any explanation. I just left it there for a week until I thought things were a little cooler, and I went back, and he asked me, like, please never, like, please don't be in my life anymore. And then he invited me to his wedding, which was a fucking bad idea on his part. Really bad idea. I meant to say sorry, too. I don't know if I'm not supposed to curse at this meeting, but like I practice so hard, and there's no way I can't drop some F-bombs. I might get kicked out of here before my time's up. So I get to his wedding. It's in Julian. At this point, I need alcohol to even drive a car. Another one of the things that I said I would never do. I'd never get in a car again. Oh, well, I said that I would never get in a car in the first place, but then I had a DUI where I wrecked a car in Mission Beach and then tried to swim across the river to Ocean Beach. That didn't work out. That was actually, there was real helicopters in that one. But at this point, we fast forward to his wedding, and I'm going up there, and again, I'm going like, oh, like after the DUI, I'll never drink and drive again. And I couldn't hold a steering wheel without my hand shaking. It's kind of sad. Like my hands aren't even shaking that bad right now. And so I had brought him a 24 pack. Had to go buy another 24 pack halfway up the mountain, and he never even saw any of those 48 beers, not one of them. And I get there, and I change my clothes, because I guess I'm looping back to the beginning. I peed myself in the car, so So I had to change, and there's this big black window like this, it looks like this, and his whole entire party could see me change, and I'm butt naked, changing in front of everybody that I haven't met, and I'm getting it all out tonight. I moved in 3 weeks, so like you guys come and find me. So I get there and I actually like ruin his wedding. My behavior, they were asking me, please don't, like the rehearsal dinner. My wife now, who was my girlfriend, she was coming up. I didn't answer the phone call. I blacked out, got in some dude's truck that wasn't part of the wedding party. Lost my keys up in Julian. Went down with these guys. I was kind of that guy that would be like, surprise, we're gonna be friends. And they didn't know I was sleeping in the car and they went down the street. And so I just, you know, continued the party. And I ruined that man's wedding. And it was very, very sad. Everyone asked me not to be drinking that night, but again, I couldn't not shake. I couldn't not. It was the only thing keeping me from not throwing up the whole entire night. I think when they like sat me down, I remember his dad like forcefully like putting me to the ground at some point. And that's because I was throwing empty glasses into the dance floor. Thought I was like at a Jewish wedding or something. And it was sad. I hurt that man, and we didn't talk for, I believe, like 15 years. And the only reason I was able to talk to him is because I got sober, and I was able to do these steps. Let me look at my time so I don't got another 20. Okay. No, I'm not wrapping up. I got a lot of baggage. I just want to make sure that I can get to some solution. This, you know, alcohol played a part when I was happy, sad, mad, frustrated. You name the emotion, that was an excuse for me to drink. And I got good at it. I knew that I was hiding it for a while. And then like there was actually this point where I just stopped hiding it, and I was like, that's who I was gonna be. Like some guy that would do any drug on the table and drink till he blacked out, and who knows what I would have done, you know, like invite me to your party. Might be a good time, might not. And it got really scary. Like the amount that it controlled me, the amount that it was just every single part of me, and I was owning it. And if you knew me back then, that the words that were associated with me had to be alcohol or drugs or careful of that guy. And very grateful that that's not how it is today. And it all happened. My friend got a DUI when I was younger, and he found this program. He got a DUI in my car. He wasn't supposed to. He got a second DUI in my car. And he apologized so much and all this and that. And then he got into AA, and I couldn't hear that. I couldn't listen to him. He was trying to talk me out of my relief and out of who I was, or I thought. And but that man saved me. I had I'm gonna just let go of some baggage. I tried to kill myself on Rosecrans Street. It was probably like attempt number 20, 30, I don't know. I blacked out, I laid down on the ground, and I woke up an hour later and no one had run me over. And I just continued on with the game plan. There was a bottle of vodka next to me and that got me through the night. But it's pretty embarrassing when, like, I don't know, I was so embarrassed that I like couldn't kill myself without like physically killing myself. If that makes sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to me too much anymore, but like I wanted to go out with like some kind of honor or, you know, at least my parents to go like, oh, he got taken out by an overdose or a car hit him or something other than just me completely putting the knife to my neck. And so 2 weeks after that attempt, I mean, I'm not doing any better and I end up at the top of the cliffs and I'm looking at this drive point that I could like just kind of sail off into the ocean, and up there drinking like a 32, and my buddy who was suffering really bad, he came and sat next to me. We drank our sorrows away that night, and we started talking. And so I started telling him that like in about a week or so I was going to say goodbye to people and drive off the cliff. And he fucking took that thing from me. He drove off the cliff like 3 days later. And I actually went to his funeral drunk and full of resentment because that was my way out. Like people still talk about it and like, you know, it could have been an accident. But in my heart, I know what was up. And when I was at that funeral saved me. Even though I was drunk and full of resentment, I saw his family crying. I saw them suffering so much and I realized how selfish I was. How everything that I was doing in my life was just all about me. And I called the guy that got the DUI in my car, and he put me on a meeting, gave me directions to a meeting, gave me this address, and I drive up there and up to Encinitas, because I did realize that I needed to get out of my environment. I couldn't stay in Ocean Beach and try to get sober, at least in the beginning. So I drive up there, find myself like, parked in a parking spot at this lake. I'm like, where the fuck is everyone? And then like these two guys come out of the bathroom. I'm like, did he send me up here to like sell drugs to these guys or what? Cause this does not look like a meeting. And so I call him and I'm like, I'm just going home. And he's like, dude, you're only late to your first meeting. Like, drive around the fucking lake. He lived on the East Coast at the time, and he's like, it's late right now, but I'm gonna see you through this. And that man put me into a meeting that accepted me. I'd gone to AAA and signed my court card after my first meeting when I was 21 and got that DUI. I couldn't hear that message. I didn't want anything to do with it. I knew I was an alcoholic, but I didn't. I was in so much denial that you could have built a wall with it. I did build a wall with it, and that denial stayed with me like for another 10 years. So now I'm 30, asking for some help, and this man guided me around the lake to the meeting. And when I got to that meeting, a man met me there with love. He met me there with open arms and he embraced me. He said, you're here, you're one of us. For me to be one of, like, it's kind of like all it took to crack the window. I just needed to crack the window just a little bit. I mean, if I look back on it, I would have fucking broken some windows down just to get in. But I needed all this to get to where I was, to where I am now. And when he gave me that hug and said, I love you, you're supposed to be here, you're one of us. Oh, it meant so much to me. That's all I was trying to do, was be part of. I think that's all I've been trying to do, is be part of my whole life. And that's what set it off. I embraced this thing. I listened to that man. That man became my sponsor a day later. We went through the step work. I think he waited a couple days because I was fucking coming off of, I was coming off a lot of stuff. He shares a funny story that I like, I think it's half true, but like, I don't really know, because those first 4 days were really rough. Like, there's enough in me to like start a pharmaceutical company, and I had to detox from those things. I detoxed from them in my truck because my parents wouldn't have me anymore. They were so afraid of me. Like, it's nice now, I'll get there, but my parents and I get to have these awesome talks, and I get to explain myself now. But back then, they were scared. They thought that I was gonna harm either one of them or one of my younger brothers, and they wanted nothing to do with me. So I was living in my truck, having very bad come down. I think at one point I checked myself into the ER because it was like, felt like I was having a stroke or some kind of medical DTs. And but I powered through it. I got through it. I got through it with the help of other people. That first meeting, I think 10 people put their number in my phone, 10 dudes, and I was like, still a little suspicious, you know? But I called those 10 dudes, and we created relationships. Like, we created really strong relationships that I still fall back on today. And that was the beginning. It was not easy. Like I said, like especially those first 4 days, I just remember getting up. I vowed like to myself after those 4 days, like, so the last year of my addiction, I was just going to Jack in the Box and eating Jack in the Box because that's all I could afford. So I vowed, like, as soon as I get through this, like, I will never go to fucking Jack in the Box ever again. And over their little breakfast meal, even though it was like $2.99 and had enough calories to get me through the whole entire day. And I was just like that. I still have to drive by that Jack in the Box just to get to go and surf, and I get to drive by that Jack in the Box. It means a lot to me. I think about it every single time. The Jack in the Box is on the side, and it's just lined with all the bars that I used to run at, and then the trap house that I was living at. Like, all of them are in the row, and I get those reminders every single time I go surf. Today I get to surf. Today I get to do these things. Today I'm honored to like be able to participate in this. Like, I participate in this, and then like right under that is, you know, my family, and then my self-care. Like, I find God in the ocean, and I get to drive by all those places and remind myself every single day of all the suffering that I went through and I put myself through. Part of the nice part is like getting to do the work. I did the work, and I found out that, yeah, maybe my father had a different approach. It's not different than anyone else's approach. You know, a lot of us have the same story of having a physical father that, you know, but today I don't have that relationship with my father. I have a better relationship than my other three brothers. I have a better relationship with my mom than my other three brothers, and not like comparing or anything. I don't need to compare. It's just clear. They're here helping me move. It's one of the gifts is I get to move in this. Like, I get to ask God what the next step is, and so me and my family are moving to be closer to them. It's a hard move. I've lived here my whole life, and I get to do these things. I get to participate in cleaning out so much shit. I threw away the only suit that I had. I gave it to Goodwill like 3 weeks ago, not thinking that I needed a suit for this. I probably would have showed up in like a tank top or something but someone said, so like, it's kind of cool. Like, you know, like how when someone's getting married, they have something blue and something borrowed and something new. It's like, well, this is from my brother, my grandfather, my brother. My shoes might be my mom's. I'm just lucky I'm wearing my own boxers today, you know? And I've been waking up with a lot of fear every single morning, like a little bit more than normal. I don't know if that's ever going to go away for me, but I like it. It's a reminder. I wake up with that fear and I get on my fucking knees every single morning. Well, last week I was so busy just going, I need to do this and I need to, that I forgot to pray. And I went back into my house. I was late to work 4 days out of five last week just because I needed to pray. And my program's strong enough today to be able to tell my boss, like, I had to turn around and get into my house, get on my knees and pray. Because if I didn't, I would have come to work full resentment. Actually, I had a big resentment over the things that had acquired over 10 years of work. And I prayed so hard on that. I just said, like, please just let me, I just need an answer. My prayer might look a little different than everyone else's. My God's like front row of a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, freaking throwing F-bombs at me all day long. And that's okay. He speaks my language and I speak it right back. And I asked him, I'm like, can you please give me some fucking relief? I don't know what I'm doing. A day later, this man shows up from Missouri, my old boss. He's another big key part of my sobriety. I had no clue he was coming in, and I didn't know why. I think it's because God told him. And he comes in the door. I don't know if he's pretty good at putting me back on my program, because I was just giving him a bunch of emotional resentment, diarrhea, or whatever you want to call it, just trying to spew everything out and get it all out. And he would listen, and then he would get me right back on track. And it's a blessing. He gets to sit here today and listen to a little bit more of my story. And I asked for God for that. And that's what I do every single morning. And I've been asking God for help just on how to deal with my parents. We speak a different language. We're speaking English to each other, and like no one knows what anyone's talking about. And it works out if I ask for God, if I ask for help, if I ask for me to remove myself. Myself is, I don't know, like me and my, when I get self-involved, we're in trouble. Like when I plan things and I start trying to take back the control, I might as well bury my head in the sand, and same with everybody around me. And so every day I need this. I need to ask God to come inside me and remove all these defects of character. That when I first started this, I wanted to hold on to those defects of character. Now I see them, identify them, and try to get rid of them as soon as possible. But I have no, I don't, you know, like I stopped asking the questions of why and how this whole thing works. Like, my sponsor can wait. He knows I'm here. Where was I? Was I talking about resentment or? Oh yeah. Yeah, but if I can get myself, the self part out, my ego down to the ground, those are my good days. I mean, from the outside looking in, if you were like anyone else in a normie, like you'd be like, oh, this guy's got a bunch of shitty days and he still has a smile on his face. It's because I'm alive. It's because I'm alive and actually alive. Like I don't have to drink anymore. I have that relief. I don't have to use drugs anymore. I don't have to hurt people anymore. And I get to shed these character defects. I wanted to hold on to many of them when I was, you know, I wanted to pick and choose. Like, I don't know, hold on to this one because that thing helped me out as a defense mechanism for fear. That was a good one. Like, that one really helped out. Lying, fuck, that's a real good defense mechanism for fear. And today, like, because of this program, I don't have to do that. I get to take inventory. That inventory is so clear and cut on, like, what the next designated step is. It's unbelievable. Every night I go home and I'm sleeping or about to go to sleep. Oh, that's the other thing I notice is, like, if I go to sleep without doing my inventory, I don't sleep that well. I got to wake up and still do the work. And I like having an enjoyable life, so I choose to do that inventory. And the other inventory I do is taking gratitude lists in the morning. Those gratitude lists, those can be more work than the, like, resentments and the make change, you know, like that, like, what did I do wrong? The inventory on the things that I'm thankful for, that stuff gets hard. And when I see that, I know that I'm getting closer, you know? I do have the relief of not thinking about a drink. It was funny when I was coming down here, I was like, how the fuck do I get out of this one? And so I was like, okay, like there's only a couple options, and like one option isn't even there. You know, like that, it's like, well, do I get in a quick car accident? Like, fuck it. Do I pull off to the right and go to the homeless encampment right there? Like, that doesn't sound good. And, you know, or do I pull over and get a drink? And it was funny because I started laughing because I was like, fucking, oh, I'm going right where I should be. And it's an honor. I get to do this stuff today. It's a lot of fucking work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. But even my wife knows, like, if I don't do the work, I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good human being. I'm not a good friend. I'll stab you in the back real quick and steal your money right in front of you, you know? And today I don't have days like that. I get to wake up, have a routine, start my program and just get on with my day. And my routine is really just trying to shed myself every single day, trying to just get rid of self. Like I said, I'm moving in 3 weeks across the ocean part. I had to show my wife on the map where we were actually going because she was like, I can't find Hawaii on the map. And I'm like, we're in the middle of the fucking ocean. Like, we are 2,400 miles away from anyone in any direction. And it's not like it's not like Oahu, like island like that. Like I'm in a little bit of a desert area, and there's gonna be some hard work coming up, and hard work I get to do. And so I show her this, and I'm like, yeah, we're over here straight in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And we made this decision she should have looked this up like 8 months ago when we made the decision, but like it was funny because I was like, oh, she really doesn't know. And it's beautiful. I get to go over there. I get to go live closer to my parents. And it's all because of this program. It's all because of every single day of like shedding my skin. But I have been waking up with tons of fear. Like, what if this goes wrong? And what if this and what if that? I pray it away and then, you know, it circles back like bubbles. I gotta actively pop every day. So I do that by calling other people that are suffering. They might not be able to identify themselves as alcoholics, but they're there. And I call them because I thought that like maybe it was selfish because of like how much I get out of it. But like, I'll call the guy that's doing so bad because it's no comparison. Like I got rid of comparing myself to others a long time ago. All I need to know is if I'm moving the stick forward myself. Is my stick moving a little bit forward from yesterday? I can compare myself to yesterday. That's okay with me. But me comparing myself to others, like, no, like, I get to listen to these men or women talk for hours and I get the relief. I get the gift. That's why I thought it was selfish, but it's selfless. I get to give selflessly. And might put me a little bit behind on my moving and my job even. But I do that because if not, I'm not whole. And I'm not bringing this to the table. I can't do it without this. I can't do it without you guys. Okay, now how am I doing? 10 more minutes? Yeah. All right, cool. 12? Oh, shit. All right, we're going to do a long pause and a meditate. No, I'm joking. Yeah, like helping others has been the biggest gift in my life. It's nice I've been able to like help my parents understand this. I, you know, going back to that part, I don't know if my dad had the best childhood. I know that now. I don't know if he knew how to like be an adult. I don't know if he knew how to be a man or how to cry like a man or how to like have feelings like a man. And I've shown him those things. And, like, I'm not taking any of the credit. He just keeps asking questions and I keep giving him things right out of this book. Giving him the gold of the book, you know? And he's not an alcoholic. I know that, but he didn't have any other way of raising children. Just, you know, he didn't seem to be working out with how he was doing it with me. So he changed course and did a little better with each of the, you know, I think he did really good on the fourth one. But today is so rad. Like, we're there. I asked him if it would be okay if I talked about him. He's like, I know you're going to talk about me. Like, that's why I'm not showing up. Probably would have been good for him, but. And I didn't want to make it all about him because he's a good guy. And we've gone through so much healing. I think he's forgiven me, but like that doesn't really matter. Like the part is I forgave him. And that's my side of the street. Like my side of the street, my father and my mother are clean. Today we woke up, cleaned out the attic full of Christmas stuff and things, and then went and saw my daughter at her first little dance thing that like she didn't want to be involved. And like I could see my dad. He gave me this look, like just a little head nod. And I was like, oh, looking for that thing like my whole life. And it's because I'm like, I don't know, I'm singing Wheels on the Bus with like 10 little kids as my child doesn't want to be there, but she does want to be there. And it was awesome. 10 years ago, I would never have thought this. These weren't the gifts I was looking for. I was looking for another easy out. I wanted the car, the house, everything, instant gratification given to me. And today, I earned those things. It's hard for me to say that shit because it's like, you know, I feel like it's egotistical, but like I did earn this stuff. 10 years of like just giving this away to others. He asked me why I keep bringing him up too, is because his inquiries are awesome. Like, they throw me off a little bit because this is what I know. This is how I'm raising my child. I mean, she doesn't know that yet. She's only like 1 and a half, but that's how I'm raising my child. But he asked me the other day, or this is a while back, sponsoring this guy for like 8 years. I think it was Larry. Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, my bad. And congratulations, Larry. But he spoke to me like, I don't know why everyone was giving me all the fucked up people that they didn't want to sponsor, but like, that shit worked. Sponsored this guy that was like, where I work, we would consider it like, we'd call him like dual diagnosis. I call him like quadruple diagnosis with a hint of fucking, I don't know. And one day he hears me talking to him and he's like, you're still talking to that man. And I said, yes, sir, I'm talking to that man. He's like, why? Like, he gives you so much trouble. I said, that man saved my life so many times. Little did my dad know that that guy was gonna try to fly. So he stopped taking his meds. Flew over to Hawaii to try to visit my dad. He's never met my dad, ever. Went to the wrong island. Yeah, that didn't end up that good for him. And oh shit, I just realized I might owe him an amend. That's for later, I guess. I ended up seeing him at another meeting. He disappeared for about a year and a half. Went to Hawaii, got arrested, got sent to, I don't know how he ended up in New York, arrested. I definitely won't say his name now that I've said all this, but that man kept me sober, and all the people that I help keep me sober. It's almost like I shouldn't even say that I help, they help me. I don't know how many times I've gone through 1 through 4, maybe 100. I think God needed me to do that. And I'll probably go through it another 100 times. And I'm grateful for that. I can't wait till the next guy comes into my life, makes me do 1, 2, and 3, and then leaves my life. That's cool. Kept me sober for another couple days. Kept me reminding myself. And every time I open this book, it's something different. I opened it one day with one man 3 weeks ago and then did the same step and was like, oh my God, I read that differently. I read it in every single time. And that's what's so powerful about this book. Oh shit, I was gonna do something about a quote. But that, like sponsoring, helping other people, giving this thing away, that's it's better than gold. Actually, shoot, that's the quote right there. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. I actually opened this book just to random pages to see how powerful it is. You can open this book and read for 5 minutes and it'll be right on what you need every single day. I had 8 pages written out for a 5-minute lead. Yeah, that wasn't gonna go well. And then I opened randomly to this page, and I shared about this, and I'd read that so many times, but it read differently right before that 5-minute lead. And I don't know, that was 6 months ago, and I've just been playing that tape over and over. Because if I don't give this thing away, then I'm useless. Like, I get going downhill right towards the drink. Like I said, I might not have the thoughts of drinking, but my character defects, they start coming out clear. And that's what I love that. Like, it's like, he may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends. Like, or the part, like, for a time he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. Like, I think about, like, a man trying to hold, like, the biggest nugget of gold, you know? Like, being on a ship. And, like, what if he fell off, you know? Like, would he let go? Like, for a minute, I wouldn't let go, you know? Like, I think also back to, like, my disease. Like, that's how the disease was, you know? I had the solution. It had run out. It wasn't working anymore. But I was holding on to this 1,000-pound nugget of gold and going to the bottom of the ocean. And today, it's a whole different day, like a whole different story. Today, I get to mine this thing by giving it away to others. It's very symbolic on, like, how I'm moving right now, and we're going through the garage, and I have, like, hundreds of paintings, like, paintings that I spent hours on, and I was, like, had price tags on all of them. I don't have room to bring them. I'm starting a new life where I don't need those things, and I started giving them away. People are like, can I give you money for the... The act is for me to give them away. And I keep thinking about, like, this. When I gave the first one away, it hurt. But it really reminds me of how, when I give this away, I might give someone an hour or two of my time, but that's for me. And same with, like, the painting part of it. Like, that painting was, like, my relief in that moment. I meditate when I paint. And here I gave someone some meditation. And I'm very grateful for that today. All right, now how am I doing? A couple more minutes. 3 more minutes?
Yeah.
All right. I just sit in silence the rest of the time. That'd be fun. Turn this into meditation. Yeah. I saw this quote. It was like, life is but the shipwreck of our plans. I love that quote. It's not an AA quote. It's just something I saw, but I said, man, it relates, like, very well. When I plan stuff, we're aiming for the rocks. Everyone's coming along with me, my family included. And when I let go of those things, when I let go of the plans and, like, the shower talk, you know, like the conversations that I'll never have, but I practice them over and over, and I let God come and do what he does, like, just like this. Like, I have this, all this, like, written down. I think I said the first thing, which was, I'm so nervous I could piss myself, you know? And I don't know if I said it right. But, like, God does this, you know? Like, God guides the ship. But I got to let him. And I got to remind myself, like, of who I am and where I came from. That's why I'm here today. Is cool, you guys all listen, but I just reminded myself of fucking the dirt that I did and where I came from and why I'm here and why I can't go back. So I thank you guys for listening, but this shit was for me. Yeah. And just to loop it, because I know Mike said provide a loop, I didn't pee myself. So no cleanup over here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, for sharing, and please come back to Pioneers. You're welcome here. And we want to thank the residents and the staff of the house for an excellent dinner. And we want to thank the ladies' auxiliary for fabulous bake sale. And by the way, I'm going to get in line for half-price goods at the bake sale now. Let's circle up, and Tim will close with the prayer of his choice.